You ever find a gift card?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It's the greatest feeling in the whole world.
It is, yeah.
Like, how many gift cards are you sitting on right now?
I can think of two off the top of my head.
Two. How many gift cards are you sitting on?
I did a purse clean out like a month ago. I feel like I found them all, unfortunately.
You found them all?
I think I found them all.
And but, like, you haven't used them all.
Right. So probably like one or two.
Guys, I don't know what it is. Like, I'm sitting on a plethora of gift cards.
It's like finding money in your pocket.
I just sit on them, though.
For a time like this.
Yeah, for a time like this. We're on a spending freeze context. But, like, I've got an AMC gift card to the movies. We got probably 5 years ago. Like, yeah. I don't know if we're ever going to use it.
Yeah.
I got a gift card to a restaurant in Pasadena. Can I just be honest? When am I driving to Pasadena to go to dinner?
That's so specific.
So niche.
Yeah.
That's like in Austin, Texas.
Basically. It's not like a restaurant group. It's just a restaurant.
I've got a gift card. I've got three different hotel gift cards right now just sitting on them. And Julia's always like, we're going to use it when we go to, you know, like France. And it's like, Julia, when are we going to France?
Yeah.
For that trip. Are we going to be like retired? Showing gift cards from 2020?
Yeah, you know they expire.
Do they really?
A lot of them expire.
Okay, I got to be honest, though. I got an Amazon gift card. Let's see. When was that? I was at Bayside. Bayside gave me that's August 1st.
Okay.
The day I got it, the day I used it. Mm. Yeah, now, you give somebody an Amazon gift card.
There's just too many things.
Because it's right here.
Yes.
Does that make... It's not like... I'm not going to the restaurant.
No. An Amazon gift card might as well be cash.
Yeah.
That's exactly.
You could use it for anything.
I'm sorry. These people gave me an Amazon gift card and a Dick's Sporting gift card.
Wow.
Use them both.
I'm using them both.
Guess what I got? I got one of those big Yeti cooler things.
Oh, yeah. Those are great.
You know I'm a big beach guy now?
Yeah.
I saw.
You know, COVID made me a beach guy. Mm-hmm. Did you know this?
Yeah.
No.
First 4 or 5 years we lived here, I didn't even go to the beach.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe Soho, Malibu, that's it.
Your Instagram is full of the beach.
I go to the beach. I'm a beach guy. Big beach guy now. I have my chairs. Mm. I got my, thanks to this gift card, my water cooler, my Yeti cooler.
Very nice.
Over the shoulder. Put on, just got the strap, you know, loaded up with ice. I've got the ponchos for the boys to get out. It's like a towel poncho. Oh.
Yeah, I saw them having it.
I've got towels. We've got our beach towels. I've got my own speaker for the beach.
But do you have a cart? Like, do you like?
I'm not that far. I'm not that far. I don't think that, to me, that's socially crossing a line.
Do you have a state park beach pass, like parking pass? So you can just go anywhere?
No, where we go to the beach, I'm not going to say it here because I don't want to see anybody. That's the great thing. Is like where I go to the beach, I don't see anybody.
That's great.
And that, yeah. You know, it's like people say that. It's like I hear different people saying, like, this restaurant I love or this place I love, I don't want to say it because I don't want to blow it up.
Yeah.
Once something's blown up, you're done.
You're done.
True.
You got to find somewhere else.
It's like, for example, have you ever seen this taco place right out here off of, that's not Sepulveda, it's Sawtell. Maybe it's Sawtell. Going down Sawtell by the school there.
Yep.
Right.
The taco stand.
Right by the staple. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen when it's like opens and the line?
Down.
It's crazy.
Yeah, because it's been blown, because it got blown up.
Yep.
People started posting about it. It's game over. Mm. That's 100-person line for tacos.
Yes.
Yes. Street tacos.
By the way, across from our new building, did you see what happened? Across the street from our, sorry, block over, but across the street from our new building, a Michelin guide star for a taco place across from our new church.
Not real.
It's guys, amazing.
Guys, it got rated the number one taco in all of LA. It's across the street from our building.
God is real.
What?
He blessed us.
But on social media, I saw the lines.
Oh. Mm.
And it's like, well, when am I going to go? That's the whole thing. Is like, have you been to Courage Bagels?
Yeah.
Dude, I'll get up some Saturday morning to get us bagels. I'll drive to Africa.
It's so far.
Yeah, it's Los Feliz, right? That's Los Feliz.
That's very far.
Okay, I'll drive to Africa to get these bagels. They open at 7. I'll get in line at 6:15. Guys, it's Saturday morning, 6:15 in the morning. I'm 40th in line.
Yeah.
It opens at 7. I'm 45 minutes early. It's an hour and 15-minute total commitment.
That is wild.
And I've never met a kind person in line that early because it's that early.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's just like, I can't believe I'm waiting in this line.
Yeah, nobody's talking.
Yeah.
All I'm doing is watching College Game Day. But anyways, back to the gift cards.
Right.
If I were to give you a gift card today, mm-hmm. what's besides Amazon, what's the fastest usage of a gift card you would use outside of Amazon?
I'm looking for a new pickleball paddle, so I'm going Dick's.
Dick's right there. Dick's Sporting Goods. What are you going?
I don't know. My gift card of choice is just always Anthropology. Like, I could always use a candle.
The candle. Okay. Ooh. But I was going to say that the fastest for me outside of Amazon, it's coffee.
Mm.
If somebody gives you a Starbucks, by the way, don't ever get too cool for school and you think you're above a Starbucks gift card.
Oh, of course. Love a Starbucks gift card
is still banging.
Banging.
It's still it.
Those are the gift cards that I find that I'm like, oh, my mom sent me this. That's so nice. Or like, oh, someone gave me a, wow.
That's a big deal.
I find them in my account in the little stars on the app. I'm like, wait, I entered a gift card here and I haven't used it.
Wait, that's brilliant.
I got to be honest. Somebody gave us the start of the year a $200 Blue Bottle dollar gift card and a $200 Randy's Donuts gift card.
Ooh.
That's fire.
I mean, do you know how...
That's your Saturdays.
I thought about this person every day for at least 3 days.
3 days?
It's something about a gift card. There's something about just like spending money that you're not spending.
Mm. Yeah.
It's the greatest feeling in the world.
Absolutely.
I'm going to break it down today. Let's go. We are back, everybody. Episode number 124.
Yeah. Crazy.
We're flying through these things like, I want to say hotcakes, but I don't even know if it works. welcome, everybody, to Leadership Lean In. We are excited. Thank you to our sponsors. We don't have any. thank you to everybody that listens, though. We do got a lot of leaners. Leaner Nation in the building.
Hey.
We're out of leaners at Lean Back. Do the rock away. Lean Back. Shout out to all the leaners out there all across the globe. By the way, we did ask people to tell us where they're watching from, and they let us know all. Oh, I mean,
yeah,
so everywhere.
Cool. The YouTube comments.
Did you see it on YouTube?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can you pull it up real fast? List some of these.
Which one?
Some of these nations. List some of these nations. I mean, we are at least in 3 to 4 countries across the world.
Oh, definitely more.
I know.
That was a sarcastic joke.
Yeah. That was, you know, one of those jokes.
It's okay. I have my moments.
Okay. Oh, by the way, I just pulled this up. We do have a few responses because we did ask some people on the social media outlet to send in some leadership questions. We are going to answer. We're going to give some responses. We don't have answers.
I like that. Q&R.
We have responses.
We do not have all the answers, but we do have a few responses.
We'll respond.
And today's episode will not go very long today. Guys, why? Because the air conditioning in this office is unfortunately...
I'm wearing shorts and my legs. I'm like, this is a little sweaty in here.
It's very hot. It's getting hot in here. Okay. So we are going to be jumping into the content here in just a minute. But I want to thank everybody. It means the world when you give us feedback, you share, you like, you subscribe. Thank you to everybody that's helping us get the Lean In Nation just a little bit further down the road.
Let's go.
Where are we at?
Okay. We have Trinidad and Tobago.
Wow.
Trinidad.
Budapest. Spain.
Yes, my people.
Uganda.
Uganda.
Paris.
Let's go. France.
America.
Stop it.
That's all that was on YouTube.
Yeah, on YouTube. Yeah, but I feel like comments. We got a response from, like, even on social media, from all people were DMing going like, I listen from all over the place. Yeah, Portugal and I'm trying to think. Brazil.
We'll drop the question box today. Where do you listen to?
A guy walked up to me on Sunday night and said, hey, I'm a leaner. I go, no way. He goes, I'm visiting from Brazil.
Wow.
That's so kind.
That's really cool.
So, by the way, shout out to everybody from Fortaleza. Fortaleza is the...
There it is again.
I've only been to São Paulo and Fortaleza. That is my favorite place to say on the planet Earth. Mm. Besides Australia, mate. We get no love from Australia. By the way, you know, I love to look at where we're listening to on Spotify artists. And like, let me just show you this real fast. This is fascinating stuff. So watch this. So let's say the song Somebody. Watch this. Countries were always biggest in the United States, second biggest in Brazil. Then we go Australia, Canada. Thank you to our neighbors. And Germany.
Germany.
Ooh. Biggest cities in the last 28 days. Phoenix, São Paulo, Dallas, LA, fourth place, and Seattle, fifth. You know that hometown got love for your boy. Shout out to the Seahawks about to start the season against the Rams next week. Man, and by the way, 10th ranked Huskies, where you at, my dogs? Can't wait this Saturday. I'm watching the game.
We need a bark button.
Yeah, let's yeah. add that.
Well, okay, I'm taking
the and I want to add a okay. Incorrect. Give me a bark for the Huskies, and I want to add a Pete Carroll.
Oh,
you know, because that's a oh gosh, talk about a great leader, Pete Carroll. All right, we're jumping right in. We're talking today about keep it moving. You know, I've talked about this before on the podcast, but I'm very inspired with this idea. Have you seen Arnold Schwarzenegger's new documentary on Netflix?
I've only heard.
Phenomenal.
It's good.
The vegan one?
I have no idea what you're talking about, about Arnold and vegan. I doubt. But is he vegan?
I think he was.
Let's not talk about it here.
Yeah, I don't think so. Anyways, he's Arnold. Yeah. You know, Mr. Universe.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay?
But one of my takeaways from that documentary was he talked about his mother-in-law and this and kind of her Maria's mom, her stance on keep it moving. You know, like you're going to face tragedy. You're going to face a criticism. You're going to face setbacks. You're going to face departure, transition, disappointment, failure, whatever. Keep it moving. You can't. There's the whole saying, you can't cry over spilled milk.
That's right.
What's happened has happened. In fact, I'm studying. I'm gonna actually preach on this Sunday. I'm preaching on kind of the same kind of similar vein, same similar thought of ultimately forgiveness. You know, I think the bait of Satan, going back to an old book by John Brevere, the bait of Satan is bitterness, unforgiveness.
That's right.
And just what that creases, what that does, what that develops in somebody's life. We all have, you know, I saw someone say recently, like, offense is a moment, offended is a decision.
Wow, that's great.
Wow.
And I think that there's a lot of power there. It's like, because ultimately I make decisions in life.
It's really good.
I make the decision to keep on moving. I make the decision to keep up. The, you know, to quote a proverb, though a righteous man falls seven times, he still rises.
That's right.
In other words, I'm not defined by my failure. I'm failing forward. I'm moving forward. I'm not holding myself hostage to my past. I could write a book about all my failures. I could write 50 books about failure, but I choose to keep it moving.
Yep.
And if somebody does something to you, keep it moving. Don't fall victim. Don't fall prey. To me, this is the life of Joseph. Joseph's like, you sold me into slavery, and you're not going to define who I am.
So
I'm going to keep it moving. I'm not going to let you. I'm not. This is something I talk about a lot to maybe Leaner Nation, but I know to Zoe. I'm not going to give anyone control over the narrative of my life.
Right.
No one has that. I am writing with God the story of my life.
So good.
Leadership to me is going like there's only two people writing this thing, and it's not them.
Yep. Yep.
I am not trying to be famous or infamous. I'm just trying to keep it moving, keep my eyes forward, keep going, keep trying to be the healthiest, best version of me. I think there's a few things you need. Here's the first one. Keep your attitude great and your energy up. You know, you what can you can control in life? I can control my attitude and my input. So it's like I can keep my attitude up and my energy up and my just that can do, will do. You have to realize as a leader, whatever you think about, you become.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever you focus on, that's what you're going to get. So if I focus on negativity, toxicity, the problem, the issue, the failure, the moment, if I dwell on these things, that's what I'm going to get in my life. That will become the resounding narrative of who I am. But if I focus on future and potential and possibility and what I'm going for and who desire to be and what I desire to build, then I know that's what I'm going to get.
That's right.
So I have to keep my attitude great. There's nothing better. Your attitude is your altitude. You will never surpass your attitude. You cannot be great and have a bad attitude. They don't coexist together.
Yeah.
Right.
So I have to have a great attitude. I got to keep my energy, the energy of who I am. It's a big deal to me.
Yeah.
Last night, you know, Julia's parents are in town And so, you know, we took him to the beach, you know, we went out to dinner. We had a great night, get all the boys, you know, get in that flow, bath, you know, get them in bed, pray for them. And then, you know, Julie's dad loved to watch a movie at night.
Can he last the whole thing?
Oh yeah, this guy. He runs off 5 hours.
Wow.
So, you know, it's 9:30. Around 9:30, he's like starting the movie. And I'm like, all right, good night, guys.
Yeah.
See you guys. Love you. So glad you're here. But the only reason why I go to bed is because I want my energy to be great the next day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't have sideways energy.
Exactly.
You know, I got to protect. So that's one way you protect your energy, sleeping. Another way I protect my energy is like what I put in front of my eyes. Another way I protect my energy is like the conversations I have.
Mm.
I think to be a great leader, you got to be a master of cutting stuff off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like you could see a little convo going there, just like shut it down.
And I think like what you're saying about focus, how that affects your attitude, I think that affects your energy too. And ultimately your attitude affects your energy. Like if you have a bad attitude, you're not going to be high energy, good to go, excited, ready. Like your attitude can kind of take out your energy.
Yeah, I think they go hand in hand, right? It's like you ever met someone who's really positive, but their energy is really low?
Yeah.
And it comes across as negative?
Yeah.
You know, it's like that energy thing. I remember, well, I'll say it like this. When I was younger, I didn't care about energy management. I cared about time management.
Yeah.
And now that I have less energy, the older I get, I'm like, this thing has shifted dramatically.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right.
Did you have a moment for you where you was like, I really got to care about sleep now? Or like, you know, care about energy?
Yeah, I think that with age, you know, and I think with responsibility, I think, you know, the older you get, the more you're just aware of like, you know, like I approve payroll today. Julia, who runs that for us, she's a little bit busy today. We got an event tonight. And so she said, hey, would you mind just looking at payroll? Something that I don't do very often, if ever. So I'm looking at it and going through it. You know, this is her world. I'm stepping into her world now.
Mm.
And all of a sudden I look at all these names and I'm like, yeah, okay. So I just kind of looked at it and I go, oh yeah, okay. So that's what I feel every day.
Mm.
I don't ever really think that way. But it's like I feel the responsibility of like my life matters.
Yeah.
What I do and what I say affects people.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like affects kids' lives.
Yeah.
You know, and I think leadership is sometimes having this sober moment of going like, I don't get to have a bad day.
Mm. Right. Yeah, what?
I don't get to like take a day off.
Yeah, as parents, as husbands.
What?
As spouses. We don't get to do that. Yeah.
I don't have that liberty. I don't have that luxury. It's like, okay, buddy. You done?
Yeah.
Right.
It's like kind of with my kids. Like, are you done?
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes you got to have your moments, you know, cry your tears, you know, have your fits of rage in the car by yourself, turn up the music, you know, do whatever you got to do, have your little moment. But at the end of the day, it's like, let's go.
Right. Yeah. And I think that there are things that, like you said, stuff happens and that doesn't keep us, it doesn't take us out, it doesn't stop us. But there are times when it's picking your battles. Sometimes,
That's right.
I address this and I'm going to deal with it and give it some time and some energy.
Yeah.
And then move on. And sometimes it's, I'm going to let it roll off. Is there a way that you can help discern like what is something I'm going to give energy to and address? Or what's something that I'm just going to say, hey, that's not a big deal. I'm going to let that roll by.
Well, I think that right there, you know, that question that you just asked is the question we got to ask ourselves all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, what sword am I really willing to die on? What do I actually need to address? What is kind of like me being petty in preference versus what's like actually a real thing where I'm like, I actually, you know, it's like at the end of the day, whatever you tolerate is what you're willing to live with. And so what are you not willing to tolerate? What is actually, you know, something that's actually big enough to like spend time addressing? So I think that's a big leadership issue is like just picking and choosing my battles wisely.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a big deal because at the end of the day, sometimes I have to address things so that my attitude is good.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So that I don't have a bad attitude. And I don't get too overwhelmed or frustrated or, you know, because if that compounds, then I'm going to be explosive about something.
Mm.
So I got to keep my attitude great and my energy up. Second one is no matter what, don't complain. It is so hard to keep moving forward and be constantly complaining at the same time. Complaining to me is it's like a sign of weakness. It's a character issue. It's a character flaw. You know, I'm so convinced that the power of life and death is in the tongue. And so if I'm complaining about things and complaining about them and complaining about, you know, my situation, it means I'm actually I'm afraid of addressing things. I'm afraid of solving problems. I'm afraid of facing the issue, because if I could keep complaining about the same thing, that just means I got to look in the mirror and be like, well, what's wrong with me?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not them. It's not the situation. It's not the issue. I'm having a hard time resolving. I'm having a hard time bringing conclusion. It's like, I don't think life and leadership is about a bunch of commas and question marks. I think it's about making periods where it's appropriate and exclamation points where it's appropriate. That's right. Bringing some resolve. So life has a ton of conflict. It's got a ton of disappointment. It's got a ton of issues. But to the best of my ability, I'm a peacemaker.
Mm-hmm.
I am a leader. I bring resolve. And so complaining to me is just, it's also a lack of gratitude.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm going like, you're telling me you can only focus on what's wrong and you can't also simultaneously. So I think immaturity is only focused on the negative of a person or a situation or a city or a nation or what, fill in the blank, and not being able to see the positive.
Yeah.
I can see the negatives about me and life and what I lead and all day long, but it doesn't get me anywhere.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't.
Yeah.
Where it gets me moving forward is being grateful and being positive. And I just find that, like, whenever I get complaining, it's like, oh, that you, there's a, it's a you issue, not a.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whenever I start to complain, and I do this all the time, unfortunately, I was talking to someone and they went to therapy and they said their therapist gave them this phrase, halt. Have you heard this?
No.
They said, if you start to get negative or you complain a lot, ask yourself if you need to halt. Are you hungry, angry, lonely, or tired?
There yeah. you go. That's great. I have heard this. Yes.
Yeah. And I was like, ooh, I'm stealing that. That's
yes.
So great.
I only complain when I'm one of those four things.
That's right. Right. That's right.
And the whatever comes out of your mouth is just reflecting what's in your mind, what's in your heart, like what you were saying. Yeah. And I am kind of, you guys might know this, I'm a little bit of an external processor.
Wait, hold on. What button do we have to hit right there?
There's a ding.
No, we should not have a crying button.
I never mentioned crying.
Give me the options here. John's got one. Who else got one? Nick Saban.
You all may be taking the week off, but I'm not.
But April's not.
No. Nope.
April's not.
Emotions, everything. It's always going. But sometimes I just say what's on my mind, not because I'm trying to communicate anything to anyone. I just talk and I'm just making noise. But but then you realize, oh, other people are around me and other people are hearing me.
Yes.
Other people are affected by what's mm-hmm. coming out of my mouth. And then it helped me realize, wow, everything I'm saying really is what's going on in my head.
Mm.
So if I'm just talking about X, Y, and Z because that's going in my head, well, maybe then I need to change my mindset, the way I'm thinking about this situation, the way I am addressing things, that it's not just going to be okay, or maybe it's like all the things I have to do just talking about it. It's like, change the mindset, and you're no longer saying, oh, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this. It's, oh, great, we're going to get all this done. I'm so excited for today. It's going to be a great day. I'm thankful for everything God's given me to work on and steward. So excited.
It's awesome. But I also, I find that complaining, like, it's just a sign of weakness, because it makes me feel like, well, you're complaining because you're just giving yourself into your feelings or your emotions and you're unwilling to address things.
Mm-hmm.
You find people that are constantly complaining, and I'll show you people that just actually don't want to fix the problem.
Yeah.
Because fixing the problem goes like, I thought about this. I have an issue. I want to talk to you about it. I want to talk to them about it. I want to actually bring resolve. That's leadership. Complaining is not.
That's right.
So you got to keep moving forward. The third one is resentment is rancid.
Mm.
Oh, you, man, I had this great coffee the other day with somebody, and they were telling me that they had to go to Israel on a trip for something. And when they were at the Dead Sea, all of a sudden, this person really felt like God just started talking to them about all the issues of resentment in their life.
Wow.
And so he called a friend and said, hey, I gotta just talk to somebody. I'm dealing with so much resentment against family, against siblings, against, you know, employees, da, 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 da. And for 3 hours, he processed stuff that he hadn't told anybody about. I'm just filled with so much resentment. And so the guy said to his friend, hey, will you pray for me? And he said, yeah. He said, I want to pray, and I want you to leave these things, you know, at the Dead Sea. These things are dead now.
Wow.
Leave them at the Dead Sea.
Wow.
And when he was telling me this, it was like I could feel the freedom that he experienced. Resentment is so rancid, and I think it holds people back.
Yeah.
It holds people hostage. I'm mad at my parents. I'm mad at my ex. I'm mad at the boss. I'm mad at and that resentment, you drink that bitter poison. It's an old cliche, but like, resentment is drinking the poison and expecting the other person to die.
Right.
It's just so foolish, but we all fall victim and prey to it. We got to guard our hearts from offense. You know, it's like, I love that proverb, above everything else, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. You can't keep moving forward and holding on to things in the past. You can't.
Yep.
So a lot of times it's like, you're 3 years around the sun, you're still back here in this spot.
Wow.
I'm 5 years down the road, I'm still actually where I was 5 years ago. That's what resentment does. Resentment will get you stuck in the mud. It's rancid. And so I'm encouraging every leader here today, get clean.
Yeah.
Get right. Get, like, let it go. Offense to me is unharbored bitterness. It's stuck in the harbor.
Yeah.
I got to get that boat out of here. I got to let that thing set. I got to let it go. I wish I could sing like Frozen. Let it go. Let that thing go. And you just see it cripple people.
Yeah.
You see it, you know, it's like, what was it? Offense is a moment. Offended is a decision. It's like, I can remember everything that was said. I can remember everything that happened. I can remember all of it. I choose.
That's right.
Not to hold on to it.
Mm.
I make a decision.
Yep.
And I find with that comes great attitude and energy and gratitude and excitement, and keep it moving. Yeah. Don't let resentment hit you upside the head. All of us have had tons and tons of opportunity to hold on to that stuff. You can't be that guy.
Yeah. I mean, I think especially in the beginning, if, you know, someone offends you, not just an offense, but someone offends you, and you take that and you kind of feel like justified with it. You know, I'm going to feel this way because I deserve to feel this way. This person wronged me. This person hurt me. Whatever it is. When that stuff isn't processed, you forget the offense, and resentment is what lingers.
That's right.
In the background. It's like trying to run a race with a parachute strapped on. It's like, you're not going to go fast. Everyone's going to pass you. You got to. Most people are harboring resentment for things they don't even remember the reason for.
They don't even remember. No, they do not.
They just know, I'm supposed to still be frustrated with this person.
That's right. That's right. And the reason why they're so exhausted, and by the way, this affects creativity, affects relationships, affects your mental health, it affects your physical health. The reason why is it's a trap. It's a snare. It's to me, it's the ploy and the tactic of the enemy. It's the going back to John Bevere's title, it's the bait of Satan. Because I know all I got to do is get you to be offended. And you're right. People forget. I forget. I don't even remember what it was, that moment, that deal, that I don't remember, but I know I'm supposed to be mad. It's just living that lifestyle. It reminds me of the next one is pessimism is poison.
Mm.
And it's just, all of it is rancid. All of it is poison. All of it is toxic. And we've all been around toxic people, toxic leaders. Why do they get toxic? Because they get toxic about people.
Mm. Yeah.
They get toxic about that person, that situation, that they wronged me, they hurt me, they misled me. But it's not as bad as you thought it was. It's not as big of a deal. And where that takes, I always think, like, you got to fast forward the tape. Where is this leading?
Hmm.
Where is this going to take you? What is the end result? You're never going to have the reconciliation that you're looking for. You're never going to have the reckoning. You're never get. There's no point of like, man, it's like in people's head, I think that they have this idea of like, I'm going to stay angry until they are, you know, suffering. Their life is death. Their calling is dead. They're, you know, so it's like you're in vengeance mode.
Yep.
You know, it's like this is how you want to live.
Hmm. Yeah.
This is leadership. This is life. This is you've been put on this earth to do what?
Yeah.
To take people out, to talk trash, to make other people look bad. That's not. I actually see the opposite. Love covers a multitude of sins.
Yeah.
I see discretion. I see wisdom calling out in the streets. I see. You know, where honor takes people. This is not the road you want to go down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's why the Bible says vengeance is the Lord's.
That's right.
Because if vengeance only, this sounds like Star Wars now, right? Vengeance only leads to guilt and shame.
Yeah.
It never actually fulfills what you, the only thing that does that is forgiveness.
That's right.
Is letting it go, to phrase Frozen again. It's the only thing, but it seems so backwards.
Yeah, it's counter.
Like, I have to fight every part of me to forgive someone.
Yes.
You know? And then, but once I do, I'm like, it's like a salad. I never want to eat salad, but when I do, I'm like, this is great. I feel refreshed. I feel healthy. You know, it's so like funny. The relief that you experience when you forgive someone is so profound. There's nothing like it in the world.
That's exactly right.
And your organization won't move forward until you practice that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that most people, they're wounded because they had these high expectations of people. And they put such great expectations. You were supposed to be XYZ in my life. You were supposed to deliver X result in my life. I actually saw you as the person that was going to, you know, you're supposed to be this to me and that to me and all that. And people will always let you down.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know why we're so shocked with humanity. I don't know why. It just baffles me that it's like they're a person just like you.
Right.
And all I've done is fail people. I wish to God I wouldn't. I don't set out to do that.
Right.
But I'm a person. And so where that expectations, when it's misplaced and it's put on individuals, that's where these sobering realities of disappointment and how could they and how, why would, it's like, David, you're a man after God's own heart and you did what with Bathsheba? Yeah. You did mm-hmm. what? Did you, it's like, this has been going on forever.
Yeah.
Good people do bad things.
Yeah.
And if we can't forgive them, we're never going to forgive ourselves.
That's right.
And then we get pessimistic. And then it's like, well, humans are terrible and everybody's bad. It's like, no. Everybody's trying.
It's the mm-hmm. system. It's
it's this, that, and the other. And it's just like, okay, so now that's on your name. Now you've got bad energy. Now you got bad blood, Taylor Swift reference. Now you're a complainer. Now you got resentment. Now you got pessimism. Who wants to be around you?
Yeah.
Who's texting you? Who's calling you? Who's inviting you? Who, you know what I mean? Like who really is like, let's hang out with them.
Right.
You know, it's like, I gotta be honest with you. Check your circle. You know who's in that circle? Anybody that's benefiting off your brokenness.
Wow.
Anybody that's benefiting off, wait, so now you're just a drinking buddy.
Yep.
You're just as mad as me, as broken as I am. And so because you're messed up and I'm messed up, let's get together. But we don't want light coming around darkness. We don't want leadership coming around that. So leader, hear me today. Some people don't want to be around you because you are positive and you are great and you are light and you are fun and you are up. And because people are so threatened, it's always like, this is what I think about insecurity. Don't be so mad because you're so insecure. Don't be so threatened because I'm confident.
Right.
You can see people scatter when a confident person walks in the room. Why? Because people are like, I hate them. They're bad. They're this. You're just threatened.
Yep.
Right.
You're because why? You're dealing with resentment and poison and bitterness and toxicity and bad attitude. Get out of this. So last thing today, bitterness is beyond you. I want to tell you, leader, you're so much better than that.
Mm. Wow. I love that perspective.
You're so much better. What are you doing?
Yep.
Like, come on. Like, you know these things. But just because you know a lot doesn't mean you do a lot.
Hello.
I think we're so drunk on education. We're so puffed up on knowledge.
Yeah.
We're so thrilled on our little sound clips. I saw Mel Robbins say this, and I saw Tony Robbins say that. And I watched The Basement, or I watched Simon Sinek, or I heard, hit me with it, John Maxwell.
that everything rises and falls on leadership.
You know, John Maxwell. It's like, I'm so happy you know so much.
Yeah.
Wow. You must be impressed with you. But I'm sorry. The last time I checked, wisdom is the application of knowledge.
That's right.
Just because you know something doesn't mean you do something. So let me remind you what today's about. Keep it moving. Don't stop moving your feet, believing in you, grabbing a hold of the future, forgetting those things which are behind me. I'm pressing forward to the things in front of me. And I don't, Demas left me for the world. So what? Alexander the coppersmith did me a much harm. So what? You know, I'm moving forward. I don't have time to cry or spill milk. That's on Demas. That's on Alexander. That's on them. That's on my brothers that sold me. It's on them. I can't control you.
Yep.
I'm controlling my attitude and my office and my spirit and my input and how hard I work. And I'm controlling my tongue. And I'm refusing. Don't you, you know, let me be honest. Stop giving people sound bites. It's so funny. The other day I was talking to somebody and he was dealing with the issue. I can't remember if I said this already on Leadership Leaning. And he said, all I had to do was tell a mutual friend.
Oh, yeah.
Did I say this one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell it again.
Did I said this one?
Yeah.
And he said, all I had to do was tell this mutual friend. And he said it to them. He said to them, it's done. It's like, I refuse to give people sound bites. Mm. They start talking about somebody, I just go like this. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I'm with my, without saying anything, I'm saying, you're not catching me. You can go that low. I'm not going that low. I know who I am. I know where I'm going. I know the weight of my words. I know my reputation. I know that my name, I do not want a bunch of nastiness on my name. I want my name to be clean and good and right. So I'm going to keep it moving. You can stay offended. I'm not offended. I'm actually not that offended.
No.
You know, like some people are like, you know, are you mad at these people? Are you mad at them?
Mm.
Hey, you know them. Do you know them? Oh, man. You know what I say? I love them.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I do. I love them. Rooting for them.
Yeah.
Want nothing but the best.
That's right.
Is the proximity of our relationship the same? No, it's not. It's not the same proximity. But the care.
Yeah.
It will always be there. And the memories are phenomenal. But I got to keep it moving.
Mm.
I'm a leader. So I'm not stuck. I'm moving forward. Let's go.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in the Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in the Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in the Raw through your favorite podcast app.
Do you ever feel like you want to know more about the Bible, but that it's kind of hard to understand? Do you want to share your faith with your friends, but have a hard time figuring out how to do that? Do you want to learn how to connect the Bible to your real life? Well, then this is the show for you. My name is Rachel, and I'm your host. I've been a children's pastor for a long time, and one of my favorite things is helping kids learn how to understand the Bible. I think that sometimes people think that the Bible is just for adults, but God actually really wants kids to know about Him. So on this podcast, We're going to learn all about God's big story and how he shows himself to us through the Bible. As we learn together what the stories in the Bible mean, we can learn how to live out our faith in our everyday life. Don't forget to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode.